Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips.
Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his lonesome.
Here's the Sandman. Over
Sandman. Russia invaded Ukraine. So now what? Is the stock market going to crash? Or is this just a bump in the road? Welcome to Protect Your Assets. Good morning. I'm David Hollander, your host. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions each week right here. And that's because I am a financial advisor and a practicing attorney. Many people don't realize the kind of tax they're creating with their IRA and their 401k. They save and save and save during their working years, only to find out that the 6 or 7 figure balance in their retirement account is money that has never been taxed. And if you take it out the wrong way, you could also be forced to pay penalties on top of income taxes. To make matters worse, the potential impact to your family members who inherit your IRA, 401k, or TSP account could also face unexpected taxes and penalties. This type of investment account that you do not want to make mistakes with, even if you inherit a Roth IRA, you need to know what rules you have to navigate. So that's why we're going to help you dig through today's show. How do you pass on your retirement account to a loved one? If you have an inherited IRA, or if you're going to be inheriting one, or maybe you're wondering what you will have to do when you inherit a retirement account. Well, if you have any questions around this subject, keep it tuned right here as we share what to do when you inherit an IRA. Now, let's get started. Well, as promised, markets hit correction territory this past week as Russia launched a full invasion of the Ukraine. More about that a little bit. But the Dow for the week was only off 0.1%. Year-to-date, we're sitting down 6.3%. S&P finished the week up 0.8%. Year-to-date, down 8%. But this is a big and critical issue here. The S&P this week dropped below the critical 10% number, which signaled a correction. And we haven't seen that occur since the COVID lockdowns. It's been a while. The NASDAQ finished the week up 1.1%. For the year, we're down 12.5%. The 10-year Treasury trading at 1.97. Oil, another area we'll talk about more here in a minute. Oil finished the week at 91.91. It's up 22% for the year, but it did hit the critical 100 and go through that. And this was the first time we've seen this since 2014. So let's take a look at what's going on. Well, first and foremost, obviously, Thursday was a very impressive day in the market. Stocks staged a rebound on Thursday, and perhaps I'd say one of the biggest and most powerful demonstrations I've seen of the sell the rumor, buy the news market mentality since I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And here's what I mean. The S&P fell from approximately 4,600 to 4,225-ish over the past few weeks. And this was on fears that Russia would invade the Ukraine. Then it happened. And after the initial panic and spike lower, investors had time to digest the fact that even the worst had happened. And as the day went on, the news came out and continues to come out that implies that the event might not have the larger impact that was so feared over the last couple weeks. And I say that because the retaliatory sanctions by the US and Europe so far haven't been any worse than feared. They didn't kick Russia out of SWIFT, although they're talking about that now. And they completely avoided any energy-related sanctions. So the point being was that the West did nothing to increase the crisis. Now, as we know, Russian forces are basically at or in Kiev right now. Right now, Putin's talking about he's trying to have conversations with the Ukrainian government, but no one believes him anymore. He has zero credibility in the international markets, and the damage has been done, and he's doing damage, obviously. And I'm not trying to diminish the terrible human tragedy that's going on right now. And of course, the plight of the Ukrainians deserves all international support. But from a market standpoint, as things stand right now, what we feared most has happened. And the worst may be behind us. And in the end, not that much has changed with respect to the economy and the market here in the U.S. And if there is a positive to come from this, again, as far as the market's concerned, it could reduce the chances that the Fed makes a mistake. And let me talk more about that. I'm not saying the Fed's going to delay the rate hikes because of this situation that's developing in Ukraine. They're not going to delay the hikes. And I expect a 25 basis point hike now in March. I've been talking about a 50. I think it's going to go to 25. I think there'll be a 25 basis point hike in May and a 25 basis point hike in June. And this is due to the increase, obviously, in geopolitical uncertainty, which I think will reduce the chances that the Fed will become too aggressive, which is what I was worried about. Now, from a technical standpoint, I am seeing some price deterioration. Let me talk about that. There are two support levels that came into focus this past week. The first was, you may remember back in June of last year, we had a close of 41.66. And then in May of 21, we saw a 4,063 close. Well, the downside target of 4,065 technically is the new level that I'm drawing in the sand now. So you may want to write that down. For those of you who are Dow theorists, yes, the transports have flashed a bearish signal. But the pullback in the industrials that we saw has been too swift, I think. And I need to see a failed rally and new lows before a legitimate bear can be called in the name of Dow theory. Just to be clear, that is something that can take weeks, if not months, and does not mean we're going to see the market make new highs or not fall deeper into correction territory in the meantime. Just the age-old technical system, which has historically outperformed buy and hold strategies, is not decidedly bearish yet. So you may say, well, how do we play this? What should we be looking at right now in our portfolios? Well, first of all, commodities are obviously the clear winner here, with oil going over 100 and pulling back. And this is due to the fact that the escalating conflict can increase commodity prices. And it's likely that the export infrastructure in the Ukraine will be damaged as a result of the fighting that's going on. And so typically physical commodities will move higher, and it could be even higher than now if the situation continues to escalate. Exposure to commodities, futures more broadly, with overweights in energy and grain commodities might be a good idea. And that's because Russia is the world's largest wheat exporter, while Ukraine is ranked fifth. And together they export more than 30% of global wheat supply. So it's likely that if the fighting continues, again, infrastructure could be damaged, and that could be a way to do well if you have aspects to commodities. Now, I keep getting the questions, well, what do I see overall? Well, right now, look, the economic data in the U.S., and again, I'm talking about the U.S. overall, because that's where we invest mostly, right? So for the U.S., we're still seeing some pretty good economic numbers. The Purchaser Manufacturing Index, which came out this week, had a 56, which was pretty stellar. The estimates were 51.9. Anything over 50 is seen as an expansion for the economy, and this measures the economic health for manufacturing and the service aspect. So that was good. The unemployment number was very good this past Thursday. We still see the yield curve although it's getting closer. The 10 and 2, as I talk about, that 10 and 2 curve is flattening out. It still is not inverted. And traditionally, when it does get inversion, that's a red flag. So we're not seeing that, still not there. And so that's a good sign. Also, credit spreads right now still look pretty good. The leading economic indicator composite also shows that we're still in solid economic growth territory. So overall, I'm still pretty optimistic about this year. Yes, it's going to be more volatile. And we've said that since the beginning of the year. I've said it's going to be a more volatile year. We're going to see more highs and lows. And I still think that this bull market, if you will, is still in mid-stage, and we still have some legs to go. And the reasons I believe that, not only from the economic data I just cited, but also because the pandemic-related headwinds are slowing down now. The mask mandates are starting to go away, even here in California. We have accumulated savings. We have strong wage increases. We're seeing that this coming week. We're going to get the unemployment numbers for the month of February on Friday. That should be positive, showing that the labor market is strong and job openings are plentiful. And the banking sector is sound, and there is no overhang in any sort of business investment right now. So I think the base case scenario for a continued bull market with single digit growth at year end or sometime therein is likely. So you just have to maintain the course, not panic, and remember what happened Thursday as a good example. So next week, we will be looking at that unemployment number on Friday and also taking a look at hourly earnings to see how those are progressing as well. And I don't expect any upsets there. So again, as this crisis unfolds, we'll just see how the international community responds. But so far, nothing out of the ordinary. So when we come back on Protect Your Assets, if you're married and you inherit an IRA, a Roth, or a 401k from your spouse, what should you do? We'll find out when I come back. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Show on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show, Protect Your Assets, hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And our goal is to help all of our listeners live a more productive, less stressed life when it comes to your money, taxes, and estate planning needs. And if you take it out the wrong way, you could also be forced to pay penalties on top of income taxes, etc. Now, to make matters worse, the potential impact to people who inherit an IRA, a 401k, a TSP, a SEP, you name it, from a family member could also face unexpected taxes and more penalties. So this is the type of investment account that you do not want to make a mistake with. Even if you inherit a Roth IRA, you need to know what rules you have to navigate before you receive that account. So that's what we're doing today. We're going to dig through the different retirement accounts and how you want to think about passing those on to your heirs before something happens to you. If you've inherited an IRA or a 401k, or you're going to be able to give one to somebody, then you definitely want to keep it tuned right here for the entire show as we share with you, what do you do when you inherit an IRA? Now, if you'd like some more information after today's show, we are going to be doing two workshops this coming week on March 3rd, Thursday, in Northern California in Alamo at the Four Lee Restaurant, and then also in Southern California at the Five Crowns in Corona Del Mar. There is still space available if you'd like to attend those. You can go to our website, libertygroupllc.com, libertygroupllc.com. Click on the events tab, and then you can register right there. Now, if you are married and you inherit a retirement account from your spouse, you have a lot more options on what to do with the IRA, 401k, or Roth IRA than you think you might have. So let's get into that. A spouse, first of all, can transfer the funds from any of those accounts to a new IRA. Now, write this down, a new IRA, because I'm going to throw a couple different ones at you. This is called a spousal transfer. You may want to write that down next to the word new IRA. Spousal transfer. All spousal heirs have the option. Again, this is an option. It's not mandatory. It's just an option to transfer the assets from your spouse's IRA or Roth IRA or 401k to your own existing. So if you already have one, you can put it into that, or you can establish a new IRA. Now, you can complete this spousal transfer even if your spouse was over the age of 72 and taking his or her RMDs from the traditional IRA. And this can be done to your existing account if you already have an IRA. Or like I've been saying, you can create a new one and move all the funds into that one. Now, what's interesting here is you can delay RMDs, and this is significant for spouses. You can delay that required minimum distribution until you turn 72. That's right. So if you're younger than your spouse, maybe much younger, this is a way where you can let that money grow, potentially tax-free if you have a Roth, for a very long time before you touch it. Now, you can also complete this type of transfer with a Roth. Since these accounts don't require RMDs, you don't need to worry about the RMD or age 72 potential penalty that we've been talking about. The transfer option is good for beneficiaries who are younger than their deceased spouses and who don't need the income. Transferring these funds to your own IRA allows you to delay taking RMDs for potentially a very long period of time. However, if you would like to withdraw the funds from the new IRA before you reach the age of 59 and a half, be aware that you're going to have to pay that 10% early withdrawal penalty, even if you inherited it. Now, this is interesting. You have an option that most people don't. You, as a spouse, can do what's called a stretch IRA. This is another concept. If you're a spousal heir who inherits a traditional or a Roth IRA, you can transfer the assets into what's called an inherited IRA. This is a new type of an account, an inherited IRA. This option is different from the option I was just speaking about, the spousal transfer option. And it could be more beneficial to you. And here's why. First, what you need to know about this is the original account owner's financial institution is going to require you to open the inherited IRA with them. But here's interesting. After you do that, after you open that account with them, you can move that to your preferred custodian, to your preferred relationship. Now, you want to make sure you request a direct, write this down, IRA to IRA transfer from the previous custodian to the one you prefer. And here's how you want to title the account when you open it up. You want first the decedent's full name, so it would be your husband or your wife's full name. And then you have the words for benefit of. And then you put your full name, okay? Or you could do it this way too. You could put your full name first as the beneficiary of your spouse's full name. Either of those will work as a title for that particular new account. Now, once your inherited IRA is set up with the proper designation, as we just explained, you can then withdraw the funds in two ways. The first is the life expectancy method, where you use the IRS tables to figure out your distribution based on your life expectancy. And you take the money out on a monthly or annual basis. Now, you do not have to use the original owner's life expectancy in this example. And this is what we call a stretch IRA, because you can stretch the distributions coming out of that account over your lifetime. This is not the 10-year rule that maybe you heard about. So this gives you the potential to stretch it out maybe 20, 30, 40 years. It's significant. This option, I think, best suits people who are older than the deceased person, because it delays the RMDs from the inherited funds until the deceased spouse would have turned age 72. Now, if you want to take out a distribution before you reach the age of 59 and a half, you will not incur the 10% penalty like in the spousal transfer option we just talked about. Your assets also will continue to grow tax deferred as well. Now, the second option you have under the new law, which is what you may have heard about, is the 10-year method. And this is where you have to withdraw all the funds within a decade. Most spousal heirs tend not to choose this option because of the shorter time window and the anxiety that it produces. But you have to make a choice. And obviously, retirement is full of complicated choices when it comes to doing things like I'm talking about, or claiming Social Security, or which pension option's best for you, or how do you keep your taxes low when RMDs are required and you have to take different distributions from things. How do you think about that? How to have more interest on your money than just having it sit in cash in the bank? Well, if you don't have answers to these questions, or you find yourself wondering, what should I do here? Then we have the answer for you. This is where we will run a retirement what-if analysis to find the cracks and the weaknesses in your plan before it's too late. Go ahead and pick up the phone right now and give me a call at 866-776-8328. Again, the number to call is 866-PROTECT to get a second opinion for absolutely no charge. See what we can do for you. Give us a call, 866-PROTECT. Now, coming up next here on Protect Your Assets, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say if you're a child beneficiary, you can stretch your inherited IRA. Is that really true given the new rules? Well, there's so much more to come. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
The Sandman. Nothing you have seen before.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, also known as The Sandman, and our goal is to help all of our listeners live a more productive, less stressed life when it comes to your finances. And speaking of that, if you missed any of our content, particularly this morning, where I addressed what's going on in Russia and Ukraine right now, and what you need to be concerned about when it comes to your investments, then you definitely want to go listen to our podcast at Protect Your Assets. Now, where you find it is if you use Spotify. You can just click the search little icon there. It's like a little hourglass. And type in Protect Your Assets. And what you'll come to is our page where we've got all of our content from many, many past shows. You'll see there's 10-minute segments. There's full 26-minute segments. We break them down by subject matter. So we have the entire shows. We have the market segments, etc. And you can just click what you're interested in and listen to the content. So great way to get it. Anywhere you get your podcasts, go ahead and type in Protect Your Assets. And if you like it, please tell a friend, because I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and just sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
So here's one they say. They say that if you're a child beneficiary and you inherit an IRA from your parents, you can take the payments over your lifetime. Is that true? Well, not all the time. It used to be, but not all the time anymore. So here's what happened. There was something called the Secure Act of 2019, and under this new law, the stretch IRA option, which I was talking about in the previous segment, was, let's call it, tweaked. Tweaked for kids who were the beneficiaries of their parents. It used to be something where you could do it all the time, no matter what the situation. But it was essentially eliminated to those who inherit the account on or after January 1st of 2020. So the funds from the IRA of your parents will have to drop into what's called an inherited IRA. Either it's a Roth or a traditional IRA. And this is the game changer here. This is where these assets must be distributed within 10 years of the original owner passing away. Now, for a Roth, that's significant, because for a Roth, those monies used to be able to stay in that account for a very, very long time and grow tax-free for all those years. Not anymore. Now, if you inherit an account like that, you're going to have to take it out over a 10-year period of time. Now, we'll get more into that in a minute, but that is the rule. Now, this applies regardless of whether your parent, who you receive this from, or the beneficiary, maybe it's a brother or sister, even if they reached the age of 72, the 10-year rule still applies. However, like I said, not sometimes, there are some exceptions to the rule. Now, these are the exceptions where you might still be able to take advantage of the old rule. If you're a minor, if you're disabled, or if you're not more than 10 years younger than the original account owner, then you can withdraw the funds using the stretch IRA method that I talked about at length in the last segment. So again, that makes you think about maybe changing the beneficiaries on some of these accounts. Because if you're required to take out the funds within 10 years, you do not need to withdraw a certain amount of money each year from an inherited IRA. Instead, you could leave the funds to grow, tax deferred if it's an IRA, tax free if it's a Roth, for the entire time, and then withdraw the funds at the end of that 10-year term. Okay, so let's say you inherit an IRA. What do you need to do? Well, the first step after being left any kind of retirement account. Now, this could be even an annuity. It could be a IRA. It could be a 401k. It could be a TSA. It's a Roth. It's a 401k. The first step, if you get an account like this, is to figure out what are the key details about this particular type of account, because each one that I just mentioned has different rules, different features, and you need to figure those out before you make a decision. So unlike the Roth IRA, the traditional IRA requires the owner to take minimum distributions when they turn 72. So because of that, if the original account owner, so your parent, was older than 72 when they passed away, you need to make sure, this is very important, make sure that the particular year that they passed, that you took the RMD and that it was met for that particular year for your parent. So right now I get a lot of questions about this. Well, I just inherited an IRA this year here in 2022, or my mom or dad passed away in December of 2021. You know, what do I need to do? Well, you have to make sure that the RMD for 2021 or for 2022 is satisfied. Otherwise, as the beneficiary, because you're receiving this, you face the potential significant IRS penalty for not doing it. Also, you need to identify when your parent opened that account. Now, will you say, well, why? Why is that important? Well, this could exempt you from taxes later on the inherited IRA or Roth IRA. And to determine if you are the sole beneficiary or the IRA is shared with other people. This is important. Then what you want to do is, after you figured those things out, you want to take a look at your own financial tax position for the particular year that you are going to get this money. And then you need to ask yourself this question: should I withdraw money now, or should I keep it in the account and take it out at a different date using a different type of a strategy? Now, that could look at sort of income that's coming to you from, say, a job, a bonus, rents, Social Security, a pension. These are all sorts of things that you want to map out and look at to figure out how you want to do this. Now, it also may cause you to ask this question, which I hear sometimes, which is, do I really want to inherit this money? And for those of you who are parents right now thinking about this subject, leaving it to your spouse or to your kids, maybe you should have this conversation with them. Do you want to inherit this account? And for many people, they'll just say, sure, I want the money. Of course, it's free money. You're giving it to me. I'll take it. Sure. But sometimes the real answer and the solution is a bigger question, because sometimes that inheritor may disclaim it. In other words, they could refuse to take it and they could let it pass on to the next person who is designated as the beneficiary. Don't confuse yourself with the child being able to disclaim it to his or her child if on the original account it doesn't say your grandchild. It's not that easy. So if that's the plan, if that's the strategy you're after, then make sure that you have multiple levels of beneficiary designated on the forms, because the way that these accounts work, life insurance, annuities, retirement accounts, is your trust, your living trust, and remember, I am an attorney, the trust does not control that document. Whether you think it does or not, it has nothing to do with those accounts. Well, my lawyer put in that, it doesn't matter. The beneficiary designation form trumps the trust. So look at the beneficiary designation form to see who the beneficiary is. And then think about it. Maybe you handled it at the first level, but what about level two or level three? Have you gone that deep in terms of thinking about it? Let me give an example. If you have an IRA with two siblings, one of whom is wealthy and the other who is not, well, if they're both named on that, if you passed away, the wealthy one might say, you know what, I'm going to disclaim my inheritance and give it to my sister who needs it. And as I explained earlier, you might want to change that beneficiary at this point, if you haven't done it yet, to say your grandchild, because you would give your son or daughter the ability to change that if something were to happen to you and they didn't want it in the future because maybe they had a windfall. Things happen, right? So don't limit your options because you limited your mind. And ask yourself the question, have you thought about these things before? Have you ever looked at the result of making decisions like this? And if you haven't been informed about this, then you need to be. And so I'll make it real easy for you to become informed. All you have to do is pick up the phone right now and give me a call. The number to call is 866-PROTECT. Stop worrying about this or thinking maybe you know more than you don't. Pick up the phone, 866-PROTECT, and give us a call. We are live right now. We're sitting by the phone ready to talk to you to help you answer your questions. This is complicated. And I am an attorney, and you need an attorney in these situations to help you figure this stuff out, because it is complex. 866-PROTECT. Talk to a member of my team right now. Now, it's time for a quick break, but when I come back, what do you need to do with an inherited IRA? Find out when I come back. Remember, it pays you to keep it tuned right here. It's all coming up next, so stick around. Under blue moon, I saw you.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network this morning. We've found that the number one key to financial success in retirement is protecting your downside. Do you know that if you had all your savings, say, in Facebook, you could be down over 50% right now? Well, this past week certainly showed volatility. We had an incredible run. We had the S&P 500 touch correction territory. It's been the first time we've seen that in just about 2 years. And so volatility's back. And as I was talking about at the top of the show, where I did my market segment, we were talking about some of the bearish signs that I'm seeing in the overall economy. So if you missed any of that, please go ahead and pull up our podcast at where you get your podcast. I use Spotify myself. You can type in Protect Your Assets and you can find it. Now, before the break, we've been sharing with you, if you are, say, leaving an IRA or a retirement account to somebody, what you need to think about. And also, if you're a beneficiary and maybe you've inherited an IRA or 401k or a Roth or an annuity or a TSA, how do you do that? What are the things you need to think about before you just go ahead and take that money and put it in your account? There's lots of things you need to be careful about as you look at that. So if you're the beneficiary, you have an option of taking the money in what's called a lump sum. And that's because all beneficiaries, spousal and non-spousal, have the option to take the funds all at once. They could take one big distribution. And this can be either from the traditional or the Roth IRA. However, I'll say that I typically discourage clients from doing that because the ability to let that money grow tax-free for longer or tax-deferred for longer is there. And if you take it all out, you lose that option. The other big disadvantage of that is that you could be taxed. If it's a Roth, as you know, it's tax-free. But if it's a deferred account, 401k, an IRA, an annuity, you could be looking at taxes on all the income or the earnings that you've accumulated all those years of the savings. Now, the other item here as well is you might want to change the beneficiary to a minor, like we talked about earlier, because if you do that, then they could stretch it out much longer. And so that's why you may not want to just take it in a lump sum. But sometimes you need it. I get it. I need the money. I got to pay some things off. So I'm going to take that option and I'm going to take the lump sum and put it in my account. And that's the way it is. Now, if you do that, remember, as I've said, you've got to pay ordinary income tax on that entire distribution. And that's going to happen all at once. And such a large amount of money, this could be literally 6-7-digit numbers we're talking about, that amount of money could push you into a higher tax bracket, which means you'd pay higher taxes on all of your income. So make sure that you plan for the taxes on your distributions before you make those decisions to take that money out. That's right. You can do what's called a tax illustration. We do this at our office. As you know, we have tax professionals in our office who help our clients. They prepare illustrations, which can show you if you do certain things, what will the taxes be on that before you actually take it out. And so those who inherit a Roth IRA generally should not have to pay taxes on distributions if the original account was opened, here's the trick, at least 5 years ago, or a conversion from a traditional IRA to a Roth happened again at least 5 years ago. So that's why I was saying you need to find out when those accounts were open, and that sometimes can be difficult. Now, withdrawals from other types of IRAs, including a traditional IRA, a SEP IRA, a simple IRA, those are 100% fully taxable And so make sure you know about that before you take that distribution. Now, I'd like you to do the following. I'd like you to take a big inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth, and I want you to picture a day when you don't have to worry about money, taxes, or what Russia's going to do anymore. Picture a day when you're standing on the deck of a large luxury liner, looking at the crystal blue Mediterranean, and your daughter thanks you for making this happen. Picture a day when you can relax, travel, and do all the things that you've always wanted to do. It all starts with a conversation. You and I can have a conversation by picking up the phone right now and call this number, 866-PROTECT. The number to call is 866-PROTECT. Pick up the phone right now and talk to a member of my team who's answering the phones right now. Dial this number, 866-PROTECT, and find out what you don't know. 866-PROTECT. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together another great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer, and of course, all my fabulous producers doing all the hard work back there. Phil, Brett, Felicia, thank you so much, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.